We're going to actually wrap up our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We were walking through the Beatitudes, which is the first part of Jesus' sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to wrap that up, and we're also going to launch our new series called Dangerous Disciples, Doing Life Like Christ. And we're going to cover what it means to be a dangerous disciple. But I want to encourage y'all, man, don't miss a service through July. We're going to be studying this, and this is going to help you to be a dangerous disciple. And so if you're new to church or you're new to the Bible is divided up into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is a record and history of the movement of God before the coming of Jesus into the world. The Old Testament continually points forward that one day God was going to send a hero. One day God was going to send a rescuer. One day God was going to send a Savior, a Messiah who was going to rescue God's people from their sins. And that's the story of the New Testament. The New Testament tells us about the life of this great Savior that God would send. And it records his birth. It records his teachings and his miracles and his life. And it records his death on a cross. And then it records his resurrection, which means that he rose again. This man's name is Jesus. And not only is he fully man, but he's fully God. And not only did he die on a cross for us, but man, he rose again and conquered death. And so that's what the New Testament is about. And by the way, if you're here and you don't have your very own copy of God's Word, I want to encourage you to come see me after church. I would love to bless you with your very own copy of Scripture. And that's a gift from us to you. And so we'd love to bless you with that. Now, our main passage for today comes out of Matthew chapter 5. And it's the last part of the Beatitudes. It's we're going to look at verses 9 through 12. And so if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn it on or turn it to Matthew chapter 5. Verses 10 through 12. All right. So, and I'll actually just, let's read the whole, we'll read the whole chapter there. Not the whole chapter, but verses 1 through 12. And this is the passages that we've been covering. So, verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And then blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when all people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, in the Beatitudes, Jesus is teaching us what it means to truly be blessed and to truly be genuinely happy. And many people look at God and they have this bad perception of God. They think that God is a cosmic killjoy, that he's down on fun and he's down on happiness and he wants to make life miserable. But that's not the God of Scripture, right? God desires to save men from their tragic lostness and to give them power to obey his will and to live a life of blessing. That's God's desire for our life. Now, the word blessed here in the Scripture in the Greek is the word makarios. And it's translated here as blessed. It means happy. It means fortunate. It means blissful. Now, during the Greek days, the Greek philosophers, Greek teachers, Greek people, they used to talk about their gods, had all these tons of gods, okay? And they would talk about them being makarios. They were happy within themselves because the problems of the world didn't affect them. And see, man is subject to poverty and disease and weakness and misfortune. But the Greek gods, man, they were always content and not affected by anything that was going on the world. And you know what? That's the fullest meaning of the word makarios. That's the kind of happiness that God desires for us, a state of joy and well-being that isn't affected by the world, that isn't affected by our circumstances, a joy that doesn't depend on what's going on around you. And so Blessed is a word that God often uses to describe himself. And so I just want to share some scripture with you about times in scripture where God calls himself blessed, okay? And in Psalm 68, David ends the psalm by declaring, blessed be God. And Solomon sang this psalm in Psalm 72:18 that says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone works wonders. In 1 Timothy 1:11, Paul speaks of the glorious gospel of the blessed God. And then in chapter 7, he says this of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You see, blessedness is a characteristic of God, and it can only be shared by men when we are in close relationship with him. And so I don't want y'all to miss that fact, right? We've been talking about blessing and how to be blessed and how these characteristics can bring blessing into our lives. But the greatest blessing is to know God and enjoy him for all eternity. And that's a true blessing. And so I don't want us to miss that. All right, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, our main scripture for today, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, of all the Beatitudes, this one seems the most contrary, right? The world doesn't associate happiness with persecution, right? And being attacked for your personal beliefs or your faith. In these final verses, Jesus shares us a sobering thought, man, and I want us to get this. Because if you get this, man, you'll be a dangerous disciple, okay? Those who faithfully live according to the first seven Beatitudes are guaranteed at some point to experience the eighth, right? Those who strive after Christ and righteousness will be persecuted for it, right? It doesn't mean that you'll be constantly persecuted for it. That's not what it's saying, right? There's probably been times, if you've been following the Lord for some time and seeking hard after him, some people don't persecute you for it, okay? Some people bless you for knowing the Lord and seeking hard after him. But there are times and there are people and there are circumstances where doing the right thing won't be popular, where honoring God and doing what he asked of you could lead to persecution. There's going to be moments like that in each of our lives. And so Jesus is letting us know that. So why is that? Why is it that following God will lead to some sort of persecution in our lives, right? Well, the first is, it's not easy to do what it is that he asks of us, right? And especially in a society and in a world that is opposed to God, right? 100% of the time, this world and the governments of the world, they're not pushing an agenda most of the time that is God's agenda, right? It's like sometimes we're falling after God, or even most of the time, it's like we're swimming against the current, because our society is not a friend of God, nor to God's people. Whether we like it or not, there's a conflict between the world and there's a conflict between the kingdom of God. Why? Because we're different. Because we have different attitudes. We have a different worldview than the world does. Right? As we read the Beatitudes, we find that they represent an outlook that's radically different from the world. Y'all probably noticed that. The world praises pride, not humility. Right, the world endorses sin, especially if you can get away with it. The world is at war with God, while God is seeking to reconcile the world and its his enemies to himself. And so we must expect to be persecuted if we're living as God wants us to live. But we must be sure that our suffering is not due to our own foolishness and to our own disobedience. Now, there's a story about a young man. Maybe y'all heard the story before. All right. But there's a story about this young man who wanted to be successful, man. He wanted to be a great businessman. And he knew and he heard about this man who was the top of the top in this certain field. And he's like, man, I'm going to go to that guy. I'm going to get that guy to train me. And so he goes and he finds that guy and he says, hey, man, I want to be like you. I want to be as successful as you. I want to be on the same level as you. And I want you to train me, and I want you to teach me. And so the successful man says, okay, meet me on the beach tomorrow at 4 a.m. And the guy says, man, I want to make money, man. I'm not trying to learn how to swim, right? And the guy says, all right, you want to make money? He's like, yeah, I want to make money. He said, okay, meet me on the beach at 4 a.m. So the guy meets him on the beach at 4 a.m., man. He has his nicest suit on, his nicest shoes on, his nicest watch on. He has his fanciest briefcase, and he's on the beach. A little before 4 a.m., the old man, the guy's out there, the guru, the businessman. And he said, hey, man, do you really want to be successful? And he looks at him. He's like, yes, I want to be successful. And he takes the guy's hand. He says, walk out with me into the water. And the guy's like, man, I'm not trying to learn how to swim. I want to make money. He's like, all right, man, you want to be successful? He's like, yeah. Do you really, really want to be successful? He said, yeah. He's like, come out with me to the water. So they got about waist deep in the water. The guy's walking out there, and he's like, man, his nice shoes are getting messed up. His nice suit's getting wet. His briefcase is gone. And he's in the middle of the water, waist deep, next to this guru. The guy asks him one more time, hey, do you want to be successful? He's like, yeah. And he jumps on the kid, and he holds him underwater. And the kid's freaking out. He doesn't know what's going on. And right before the kid passes out, the old guru lets him go, and he brings his head out of the water. He's just gasping for air. And the old guy says, I have a question for you. While you were underwater, what did you want to do? And he said, I wanted to breathe. And the guy looked at him and said, when you want to be successful as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. Now, there's a great lesson in this story. If something is really important to you, man, you got to pay the price to get it, right? The valuable things in life are not free. The valuable things in life always cost you something. Now, I want you to think about something. I want you to imagine right now, who's the marriage? Who's the ideal marriage? Who's the ideal relationship that you can think of? You're like, man, that's a successful marriage. That's an awesome marriage. If I had a marriage that I was shooting for, like, that's the bar, right? I want y'all to think about that. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a family. Maybe it's a neighbor. Think about it. Visualize that in your head. Now, think of the people that you've seen or know and who have this awesome marriage. It could be friends, neighbors, family. And I want you to know that their marriage didn't happen by accident, man. It wasn't easy. They were intentional. They spent time in prayer. They read books. They attended seminars. They forgave the hurts. They made the apologies. They sought out advice. They did the work to have that amazing marriage. Man, I want you to think about that successful man, young man. I want you to think about that successful woman, ladies. And you're like, man, that's the bar. That's the person I want to be like. That's the mom that I want to be like. That's the dad I want to be like. That's the business owner I want to be like. I want you to think of them, and I want you to get their picture in your face, man. They're wise, they're patient, they're mature, they're influential, they're leaders. You'd like to be like them someday, but how did they get that way, man? They didn't start off there, right? They didn't start off there. They weren't always that way. They surrounded themselves with the right people. They cut out the wrong people. They distanced themselves from toxic people. If you're godly, then you made it a point to do the things that would grow you spiritually, man. You made church a priority. You made getting in scripture a priority. You made growing spiritually a priority, right? They made these priorities to achieve the goal that they set for themselves, man. They made the sacrifices. They persevered. It wasn't easy. It wasn't an accident. Guys, people who make it to the top, man, they don't get there on accident. They did the work. You see, the valuable things in life. Hey, praise the Lord for babies. You know, some people never get to hear that noise in their church. We get to hear it a lot. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing, okay? Yeah, we want babies in our nursery, not cobwebs, right? And that's our prayer. Lord, fill up our nursery. And he's doing it. And so we praise the Lord for that. We got some in the hopper too. Man, they're about to join us. And so we're excited about what God's doing. Here's the whole point, man. The valuable things in life are not free, right? It's such a blessing to be close to God, man. It's such a blessing and an honor and a privilege to hear God speak to you. It's such a blessing and an honor for you to be praying for a friend who's going through a difficulty, and God give you the scripture that they need to hear. And you're like, man, I think this is for you. And I've been praying for you, and I want to share this with you. And they're like, dude, I needed that, man. I was at the end of my rope, man. I needed that. or for God to tell you to call someone, and you call them, and you're like, dude, I just feel like I need to call you today. And they're like, man, guys, being close to God is awesome, right? It's amazing. The closer you get to Him, the more wisdom you get, the greater your joy, the greater your peace, the greater your power, the greater your influence, the greater the persecution. I want you to think about that. Satan doesn't waste his time on those who aren't a threat. Let that sink into you. Man, but if you start seeking after Jesus, if you start spending time with Jesus, if you start talking about Jesus, if you start praying to Jesus, you're dangerous. You're a threat to the kingdom of Satan. And Satan's army is ordered to shoot leaders first. Guys, as we seek after Jesus, we become a threat, man, and you become dangerous to the enemy of God. And a dangerous disciple, man, they're a threat because they can change the world. Man, because they've died to themselves and they're living for God. They're no longer concerned with comfort, man. They're concerned with advancing the kingdom. They're concerned with changing lives. They're concerned with becoming more like Jesus. If you're growing in Christ, if you are in love with Him, if you are in the world and if you are trying to change the world and making Sundays a priority, making worship a priority, when your feet hit the ground, man, Satan's like, oh, crap, he's awake. Oh, crap, she's getting started for the day. Oh, man, you know, and he's worried about that. Oh, no, she's leaving the house today. Dang it, right? See, if you aren't seeking after Christ, if you just want to be comfortable, man, if your focus is on pleasure, Satan's not worried about you. You're powerless. Your faith has no teeth. You're not a concern to the enemy. But man, dangerous disciples face persecution sometimes, but they don't let it stop them, right? They know who they are. They know who they serve. They know where they're going. They're on a mission. They ain't trying to be comfortable. They know that this life is a short, a little journey. And they know that most of their life is going to be spent in eternity. And they're not concerned about pleasure right now. Man, the pleasure that we're going to experience in heaven is going to be 10 times better than anything we experience here on earth. And so they're focused on that, and so it changes their now. All right, so they're on a mission. When they're persecuted, when the persecution comes, they say, bring it, can't stop me, right? I'm blessed, right? What's the whole thing about Satan attacking us? He's trying to get us to think that God's not in control. When Satan attacks you, he's trying to get you to think that God is done blessing you. Whenever Satan attacks you, he's trying to get you to quit. He's trying to get you to give up because he can't. He already knows he's getting his tail kicked. He already knows that the war is over, right? He's just trying to quit, get you to quit. He's trying to get it to be over for you. And man, if you persevere, if you hold tighter to the word, if you hold tighter to Jesus, if you seek harder after him, man, you can't be stopped. When people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Jesus says, man, I'm going to bless you. Right? You got two choices, dude. You can be a victim or you can be a dangerous disciple. And here's the deal. Victims have a kick me sign on their back and they take a tail kick in all their lives. And so what are you going to do today? Man, are you going to choose to be a victim who takes a tail kick then? Are you going to choose to be a victim who stays right where they're at and never grows? Or are you going to choose to be a dangerous disciple? Man, I hope you'll choose the latter. And here's the deal. Some of y'all are saying, but Pastor Manny, dude, they're talking about me, man. They're lying about me. They're saying evil against me. Pastor Manny, they're trying to get me. Pastor Manny, life's not fair. I want you to read my lips, okay? And I love you. Read my lips. I don't care, okay? I don't care. And the reason, here's the deal, I care about you. But I'm not gonna enable you to be a victim. I'm not gonna enable you to take a tail kick. I'm not gonna enable you to have excuses for not growing and not getting the best that God has for you. I'm not gonna allow it. Right? If you're looking for an excuse not to grow, don't come to me. All right, I want you to be a dangerous disciple. I believe that you are formed by the hands of God. I believe that God has placed gifts inside of you. I believe that greater is He who's in you than any power that's in this world, man. I believe that. 1 John 4:4, I believe. And so, whoever told you life is supposed to be fair, man, I want you to know they lied to you. Guys, life's not fair. Man, if life was fair, Jesus would have never went to the cross. Man, if life was fair, people would have never came against Jesus the way they did. They had no reason, man. He is perfect. Guys, life's not fair. Whoever told you that lied to you. Man, John, 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Right? Jesus never promised us that if we follow him, that it would be easy. He promised you something greater. Man, he promised you a great life of blessing, man. It's called hearing his voice. It's called knowing him. It's called eternal life. Guys, how valuable is eternal life to you? How valuable is heaven to you? Guys, I want you to know it's worth dying for. Man, how valuable is it for you to one day see Jesus face to face and get to wrap your arms around him? How valuable is that to you? How bad do you want that? Guys, I want you to know that if you seek hard after Christ, man, if you give your life to Jesus, if you let him be the Lord of your life, man, it's worth it. And the cherry on top is if you will be a dangerous disciple, not only will you get the kingdom of heaven by putting your faith in Jesus, but if you'll be a dangerous disciple, there will be a lot of people in heaven because of you. And that's going to be the cherry on top. Verse 12 says, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Guys, the valuable things in life always cost you something. If you want the blessing of God on your life, know Jesus. Seek him desperately. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is greater than any power that can come against you. He can get you through anything that you're going through. Whenever the storms come, when the persecution comes, when Satan attacks, verse 12 tells us to rejoice. What does that mean? Worship God. Worship God, man. Activate your faith and just praise God that he's bigger, that he is greater, that he's a good father, that this thing hasn't come to stay, man. It's come to pass. And know that he's going to get you through that. Remember, if he's attacking you, if the enemy's attacking you, it's because he's afraid of you. If the enemy's attacking you, God is about to do something huge to you, and he's about to do something huge through you, man. Don't throw in the towel. Life is too precious to waste. Man, don't waste your life on being casual. Don't waste your life on stuff that doesn't matter. Man, life is too short to live it caring about what people think. One guy said this. He said, "We buy things we don't need and with money we don't have to impress people we don't like." That's funny. Dave Ramsey said that. Here's the deal. A dangerous disciple is not defined by their circumstances. They're not defined by what people say about them. A dangerous disciple is defined by Christ and who they are in him. Right? They know who they are. They know who they serve. And they know where they're going. They refuse to be a victim. They refuse to coast. They refuse to sit back. Man, they choose influence. They choose character. And by doing so, they choose power. Right? Persecution is really a blessing. That's why we can rejoice. It lets you know who your real friends are. Whenever you're persecuted, you find out who truly has your back. Right? It lets you know who your real friends are. It lets you know how strong your faith really is. What else does it do for you here? It's a blessing. It lets you know who your real friends are. It lets you know how strong your faith is and how strong your love for God is. And it allows you to see that Jesus is faithful and he's true. Guys, if we would have never planted this church, we would have never grown as much as we have. We wouldn't believe in prayer the way that we do. Anytime we've had a need, we've prayed. And God has answered and met that need. Anytime that someone has had something going on, We've prayed for them, and it's cool to see the different ways that God has answered those prayers. And many of y'all are testimonies to that. It's so cool to seek hard after God. Maybe you're here and you need to pray, "God, make me a dangerous disciple, man. I don't want to be sidetracked anymore. Man, I don't want to have an on-again, off-again relationship with you, Lord. I want to be consistent, man. I want to have a strong faith that doesn't waver, that can't be shaken." If that's you, man, I want to encourage you during this next song that we play. I want to encourage you to pray that. During that song, before you sing, man, just pray to God. "God, make me a dangerous disciple." Man, if there's an area of your life where you're just making laps around the same sin, And you do the sin, and you feel guilty, and you feel shameful, and then you're like, man, I don't want to do that anymore, and then you repent, and then you just keep doing it, and you're in this cycle, right? Let's break free from that. You know, another gift that comes to dangerous disciples is freedom. Man, not only is God greater than the enemy, but God can give you the power to break free from any addiction, right? I can't do it. I can't make the choices for you. I can't help you to break free, but God can help you. God can do it for you and through you. He can help you with those things. Maybe you're here and you know someone in our church family that's facing persecution. Maybe you're here and you know a friend or a coworker and they're going through a difficult time. Man, I want to encourage y'all to be praying for them. Man, there's a war going on between God's people and between light and darkness, between God and Satan. And man, people are the casualties, okay? And so we need to be praying for those who are lost. We need to be praying for those who are far from God. We need to be praying for those who are unchurched. And we need to be inviting them. We need to be investing in them and helping them draw close to God. Man, here's the deal. If you're here and you're being attacked, if you're here and you're going through a difficult time, man, I want to ask you, are you plugged into a life group? Your first line of defense against the attacks of the enemies are your brothers and sisters who are praying for you weekly through your life group. That's your first line of defense. So I want to encourage each of us, church family, be praying for your leadership, right? We have a PAT team, Craig and Blaine, pastor assistants team, and their brides. Be praying for our pastor assistants team. Be praying for your pastor. And be praying for one another, and especially be praying for your life group friends and family in your life group, okay? Get plugged in the life group, man. Your life group is like a foxhole, right? Y'all look out for each other, man. Y'all are guarding each other against attacks of the enemy, and the main way we do that is through prayer, and we're encouraging each other. Maybe you're here, and there's never been a time where you've given your life to Christ. There's never been a time where you crossed the line, and you've chosen to be a disciple. You chose to give your life to Him and chose to follow Him. Man, if that's you, I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. The words that I'm about to pray, man, they're not magic. There's something special about them. The thing that makes them special is the sincerity of your heart. So I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head, and I'm going to pray. If you've never given your life to Jesus before, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. You can repeat it silently to yourself. Dear Jesus, today I give you all of me. I give you my life, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to become the leader of my life, and today I commit my life to you, Jesus, and I ask you to set me free from my past, and I ask you to help me to become more like you, Lord, help me to hunger and thirst after your word, and God, help me to read your word daily. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're here and you've prayed that prayer for the first time, man, we go crazy when people choose to be baptized. We go crazy when people give their life to Christ. And we'd love to put resources in your hand to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And so if that's you, you please indicate that on your card. And we'd love to be praying for you. And we'd love to get in contact with you on that. For the rest of us, man, if you're here and you are a Christ follower, what's your next step? What's your next step to being a dangerous disciple? What's something that God has asked you to do that you've not yet done? Right? Some of us are busy praying for God to speak to us when He's already spoken a long time ago and we still haven't done it. Will you ask God, God, remind me of anything in my life that you've asked me to do that I've not done? God, I want to be a dangerous disciple. I want to take that next step of obedience. A disciple is someone who walks in obedience to God and His word, okay? Let's be disciples. Let's be dangerous disciples for Him. Well, we worship God in two ways here at Cross Community Church. One way that we worship God is through singing and through music. Another way that we worship God is through giving. And so here in a moment, a bucket's going to come down each row. If you'd like to participate in worship through giving today, you can do that through the bucket. Some of y'all have already given online. And I want to say thank y'all for doing that and for your consistency in giving online. And we greatly appreciate it.